The Metricon pre-game interview.
Dash, thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy. When you're an administrator or sitting on a commission, this is the weather you don't want in September, is it?
You want to have a nice big crowd turn up. We want to have the sun and the shining. Yeah, no, it's but look, even that, I've been over at the netball this morning and there's heaps of people over there all supporting all their teams, and there's looks like there'll be a decent crowd here today too. But, I mean, clearly you want the good weather, but, it's been good. Good turnout today.
Good representation over there in the netball too. You see Colac and Leopold and Newtown, just for some that I've seen already, and then there'll be others as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, shout out to my daughter's team that made it through to the grand final. Cool. So that's been a long road. But look, and year on year, just while we're talking about weather and finals, our finals attendances have been up as well. So the Bellarine attendances were up this year compared to the previous couple of years as well, and even the first couple of weeks or the first week of the GFL finals were better attended than last year as well. So that's all pointing in the positive direction for a big grand final day.
What's the feedback on a Leopold neutral grand final been for the Bellarine last week?
To be honest, there wasn't a lot that we had directly come through. So it was a good thing to try. I think the way that Leopold ran the day was really, really good, and that was really well appreciated. And, we haven't locked anything in again for next year, so we'll sit back and have a bit of a look. There's an upgrade happening at Newcombe on their netball court, so we'll have a bit of a look at that again next year and see if we go down that path again or we come back to another Bellarine club.
Grand final venue, obviously GMHBA Stadium, in 13 days' time. Locked in the time. There was some talk of maybe playing a twilight, but I believe the feedback from the clubs who potentially are going to be involved was we'd like the opportunity to have it finished at a normal time to be able to go back and get full value for our celebrations.
Yeah, correct, exactly. So that was the feedback we got, and again, this is another thing that we're open to trying. I mean, clearly the Friday is something that we want to try. We think we can really make it work and make it a real day on the Geelong sporting calendar. We want to really lean into that. And whether the start time eventually becomes something that's a bit later in the day and we can highlight the lights and all that sort of thing or not, but 2:10 it is for this one, and we're really looking forward to a big day. We're really trying to turn that into a big festival. We've got a lot happening. It'll be very similar setup to an AFLW game, so we'll have activations outside the arena, bands, all sorts of stuff. We've got Renee Gehring as our match day MC for the ground and all that sort of thing, so I think it'll be really special. So the team have gone all out, so it should be a great day.
Are you nervous about whether if the Cats are in the grand final that a parade they're involved in is going to impact?
Yeah, and look, and people are probably going to be getting themselves set up for the next day if Geelong are in the grand final as well and all that sort of thing too. I mean, these are things we can't really control, so it is what it is. But I really think that, having that, because we've got the AFLW game on the Thursday night,
yep.
Then our game on the Saturday, and then into the Cats, or into a grand final on the next day. Well, you say so.
Who do you barrack for?
Carlton.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, hold that against you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we do. Bad luck. No, you drew the short straw today too, Ash. You had to come and talk to us. Gertie's over having a free feed on the GD. Ed's probably there too, isn't he? Probably here.
Yeah, I think Dave Milsom and Michelle are over there today.
Very nice. I was just going to talk to you about the Surf Coast Suns. Obviously, we've spoken to Ed about it before in terms of the timing of it all, and they want it next year, and then they're coming in 26. In terms of the relationship or engagement that the commission and the AFL Barnes having with the club in terms of, you know, obviously building that not from scratch, but the senior sort of side of things from scratch. What's that look like and what's that going to look like in the next 12 months?
Yeah, we've been really closely engaged all the way through that process. So all the way to the point where we obviously recognise that they wanted to go into the senior competition and sort of how that might look. As you said, they were originally gunning for 25. We felt 26 was probably a better start to give them a bit more of a lead in. But now it's through the process of how do they go from a junior club to a senior club, and there's a lot of stuff that's involved in that. You know, you go from having a culture of juniors and all that sort of thing into having seniors, and then you've got alcohol and you've got other demographics and all sorts of stuff that comes into that. So how they manage that transition is going to be really important.
Yeah.
But then building the playing list and making sure that they're making the right appointments in terms of coaches and those sorts of things. We've also done a little bit of work to try and link them up with some of the other clubs around. There's a bit of mentoring happening as well. They're a young committee. yeah. very enthusiastic, but also recognise that this is a big step for them too. So we're really closely involved, and you know, when we know that they're trying to get a coach appointed prior to the start of the year to help them with their recruiting and all those sorts of things, which I think is a great move. And yeah, so a lot of involvement. Really keen to make sure that they come in, and you know, we know that they're when they first come in, they're going to struggle a little bit in terms of competitiveness. We expect that, but we need to make sure that we support them through that to become a growing club and something that is sustainable long term.
I think they were thankful probably in the end that they'd got the guidance from you guys about 26 instead of 25. I think, you know, they want to do it as soon as they can, but there's a lot goes into starting a footy club, I would have thought, from pretty much scratch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. So. And they're in a situation too where their juniors, they're only going to have a 1 year of juniors that are going to come out for their footy.
Yeah.
Their netball's a bit further ahead, and they're going to actually come into to the comp next year and play netball next year. So they'll fill in for some areas where we've got some gaps at the moment in the draw, so they'll get a bit of a running start into the netball, and then they'll kick off in the footy the year after.
Will that be across GFLM Ballerine or just Ballerine?
Ballerine.
So maybe where a... this is just off the top of my head, and Newcombe might not field in a junior division.
Correct.
I think Newcombe didn't have a 13 ones this year.
And I don't think they had any ones.
Those spots might get taken there. That's fantastic.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Absolutely, that's good, yeah. And in terms of the relationship with Torquay, because we had Jock McMahon from St Mary's last week talking about the clubs are very much, you know, together. Torquay's obviously won against next to Surf Coast in terms of what's been their reaction, relationship, sort of thing from the town, I suppose.
Yeah, look, it's interesting because when you look at towns and areas that have got the same number of people that Torquay and Jandakot have now got, which is about 25,000-30,000 people, most of those areas have got three clubs. So they generally have a major league club and two minor league clubs. And we look at that and say, well, you know, we look at those that data and we think, well, I think there is scope for an additional team here. And clearly the fact that Torquay, you know, they're starting to now turn away people because they've got to that size. I think initially when they come in, they're going to be, or the initial feedback was that they weren't particularly supportive. I mean, they can see that that's going to pull a little bit from their base and that sort of thing. So you can understand that from a club point of view. One of the things stepping into this role that I've very quickly learnt is that all the clubs are very parochial about, you know, what affects them. We make decisions sometimes that they're a little bit against that. So but we think for the long-term benefit of footy in the region and particularly down in that Geelong area to give people a go, we think we've done the right thing there, and I think it'll really set Torquay up for the future as well.
For Metricon, speaking with AFL Barwon Deputy Commission Chair Ash West, here's Matty Kershaw on Carrick Footy.
Given Torquay have dominated again this year, Ash, is there any inkling that they may be interested in coming up to the GFL or chat since?
Next logical question, Manny, thank you.
it's the question on everyone's
That's right.
tip of the tongue at the moment, considering how dominant they've been.
Yeah, look, they won the grand final by 10 goals and played on 28 points. So, you know, I think you've got to ask the question. I mean, that's clearly up to them. And the way that we've set that up is that it really is a decision that the clubs need to make off their own bat. So we've given them the opportunity to do that. They've now got to have a discussion and have a bit of a think about what they want to do and if they want to take that leap forward. You know, personally, I'd love to see it happen, but really, that's in their court now.
They haven't closed the door on it.
No one's, not at all. There is a possibility that they may, you know, at this point in time, the indications are that they won't, but, you know, 12 months is a long time. So
absolutely. Birchie?
And Ash, last weekend, of course, there was an absolute thriller here and going to extra time and then the golden point. Just on the back of that, was there a reflection, you know, meeting amongst AFL Barwon to sit down and analyse how that went and how things unfolded and potentially, you know, if it happens again, you know, just to tighten up on a few of those processes? Was there a reflection period?
Not yet, but absolutely there will be. We'll sit down at the end of the year and look at all those things. I mean, you're dealing with things that don't happen very often. So when those things come about, you know, the timekeepers can get a bit flustered and all those sorts of things at various points, and we understand that. But I think, yeah, absolutely, we'll have to look at those things. So we had a couple of things happen. So there was that game, and then there was the issue down in Queenscliff with the point as well, and with the incorrect score. So there's a few things there we're just going to have to sit back on and reflect on and say, how do we tighten some of those things up? We're always looking at those things and as I said, these are things that don't happen very often. So, but we do need to tidy up on a couple of those things there, definitely.
You touched on before, Torquay winning a flag on 28 points. next year you're going to handicap them. They're going to play at 38, but you've put out the TPP salary cap and also player points for next year. Was tried, I think, 5 years ago, and it got some real pushback from a couple of clubs. I think St Mary's was one that really, when they were going to be handicapped to 38, I think they really pushed back. But this time around, it's going in, I believe, and the clubs have been told this is what it looks like for 2025.
It's a different model. So last time there was a definition of sustained success around how you would allocate points and other things. So we've actually gone now to a tiered model. So it actually just depends on where you finish on the ladder for that given year as to how the points structure falls. And this is a little bit consistent with what a number of the other leagues across the state have done as well. So I think there's about three or four of the other areas that are doing something similar.
I know the North East is really going hard with this next year, I believe.
North East are, yes, that's right. And up in Nubbins and Murray, they're adopting something very similar too. So so the process is very different. It's not based on a sustained success model. It's actually just where you finish on the ladder. So in this case, and it's based off the end of the home and away season. So in this case, we know St Joey's and St Mary's will be on 38 points. But the clubs at the bottom end will also then by default get additional points. And it's one of the things that coming into this role, I just couldn't believe how much time was being spent on commission time in terms of the operations team as well. Talking about points, talking about points allocations, talking about appeals, it just took so much. So this, we're hoping that this takes a little bit of the conjecture out of it. Everyone kind of knows where they sit. There may be, and there's an opportunity there for clubs to put in a submission for additional points if they think they've got a case, but we think it's reasonably straightforward sort of where it sits now.
The points is an interesting one though, because like Lara play on average of 26 points, North Shore play on 28 points. How does the points give them 100? How does the points help that scenario?
Yeah, so what we've done, because I think it's a good question, because when we sit back and had a bit of an analysis of what's going on, none of the clubs are really hitting their head on terms of the points that they're using. So one of the restrictions of that's a little bit of salary cap as well. So yeah. to the bottom end of the range where you've got now more points, we've also allocated more salary cap to be able to use, and it's a little bit in terms of what we've actually done in the salary cap. That's something that we'll probably address or continue to review and see whether we think that's enough going forward. But we clearly want the clubs that are at the bottom and have got additional points to use the additional points. I think that we had clubs this year that had the additional points that you've kind of alluded to. There was three games in the Geelong Footy League last year where clubs used 40 or more points. And so we actually really want to encourage those clubs to use the points. What we really want to do is make sure that we think we've got a really high standard of footy here, and we want to make sure that we keep the standard of footy at the level that it is and bring those bottom clubs up through using the salary cap and the points.
That's a good point, because the four-pointers, your five-pointers, a six-pointer is going to attract more money.
That's right.
So you need the salary cap to coincide with the increase in points.
Yep, exactly.
108,000 at the bottom. So Lara and North Shore will get 108, is that right?
Yeah.
And then tiers back, couple of 105s and 100, which is staying the same, basically the base. Ballerina, that's an increase in it from 80 to 85, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And what we've looked at there too is, because some of the feedback we got when we were talking about the competition structure was the gaps between the leagues in terms of salary cap. So if you've got a club that was going to jump up a league, it was a huge jump in terms of salary cap. So we've actually taken the opportunity this year to try and reduce those gaps a little bit between the leagues. And salary caps was another one of those things we had a lot of feedback on. We had some clubs wanting to increase the salary cap, some clubs wanting to remain as it was. And so we've kind of had a bit of a halfway house. We've kept the top at the same range, but increased the bottom end a little bit.
Okay, so Torquay will play at 38, and then it tiers 40 from who finished second on the ladder, I think. Drysdale finished second. Drysdale will have 40. Talking about Drysdale, Ben Carmichael's going to join us very shortly, and that goes down to 46 for Port Arlington and Newcombe. The GD, that's an increase too, from 70 to 75 as a base.
Yes.
With 81,000 for Cryo and Geelong West, and then that tiers from 40 points to 46, not handicapping who finished minor premier, East Geelong. I'm guessing the juniors, because of the junior structure,
right.
The GD clubs.
Correct. That's
is
right.
Is yep. Impact there. So there's plenty to unpack with it, Ash. We're going to try and unpack it. We'll put some stuff together for krockfootball.com.au at some stage, but we've got the graphic and we'll share that around, and I'm sure people will be very interested to see how it's all going to look next year.
Look, absolutely, and we totally understand too that equality across the leagues is a really complex thing. Points and salary cap is one thing, and it will have a level of impact, but there's a whole range of things that goes into that, and that's this is one of the pieces of the puzzle.
Appreciate you taking the time to join us. Hope the next couple of weeks go well. We can't wait for the festival that will be grand final day. Food trucks, music, it's going to be really alive in the
pre-season. It's going to be special. Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and Carroll Football Live from midday now that we know we're at £210, which we're looking forward to as well. Big pre-game for us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Enjoy your afternoon. You staying here, finding a warm spot?
I'll try and find a warm spot up in that grandstand up there and stay out of the hail. So
thanks for joining us, Ash West from the AFL Bowen Commission.
The Metricon pre-game interview.